I was having a conversation with a friend from back home, and so many things work in connection together to get me where I am. I saw this article about this guy, I think his name's, I might be mispronouncing it, but Brian Mwende, and he is in Kenya, and he was a lawyer. He was a fake lawyer. And he won 26 cases straight. Twenty-six cases straight, one after the other. WWW. And then they finally caught him. And now he is awaiting trial, where I pray he represents himself. That's phenomenal. 26, you got fake, and apparently it's a whole thing. I didn't know this, in Kenya, this is a whole thing. There are a bunch of fake lawyers, because he was just the first one. There's a bunch of fake lawyers that just never actually passed the bar, but they've been practicing. I guess they got a storefront or something. Like, I don't know, you just walk in and you're like, you seem like a lawyer. You know, the only way I know any lawyer has been a lawyer that I've ever worked with was the paper on the wall behind their desk. If that's fake, I have a fake lawyer. That's... Meanwhile, in America, we have, okay. So my friend from back home that I worked with, we used to work together, and he wasn't always on the right path, right? So he used to be involved in some gang shit and everything. And he got caught up on some drug charges. But these drug charges were not things he actually did, right? So he almost went in confident. Okay, I know I have a pass, I have a rap sheet, but I wasn't even there. I did not do this thing. His lawyer graduated from Cooley. If you don't know what Cooley is at least spoken of as the worst law school in America. It is where, famously, Michael Cohen went. Michael Cohen, Trump's lawyer, who went to jail. Do you know how bad of a lawyer you have to be representing somebody else, and you go to jail? Do you know what I'm saying? Trump still hadn't been to jail, and his lawyers keep going to jail. The level of crime you have to do for the jail to miss you and hit whoever is standing behind you is crazy. But it was Michael Cohen's fault. He did his crime, you know, he went ahead, went to jail and everything. But Cooley, apparently, is not a great law school. I didn't know this, but this is something that came up whenever Michael Cohen went to prison. And it was confirmed by my friend who had this drug charge, had a lawyer representing him that went to Cooley. And lawyer walks in, public defender, right? Walks in and doesn't say hello, doesn't ask him really anything, just goes, how much time can you do? And he was like, I shouldn't do any time. I wasn't there. I did. And the lawyer cut him off. Fuck all that, all right? How much can you handle? Like, in your spirit, how much time can you do? I just don't want to see you broken. You know, you're a young man. We might be able to get... And he's like, have you talked to the prosecution already? He's like, no, I haven't talked to him, but I heard he good, okay? He's like, did he offer a deal or something? Ain't no deal right now, man. Just answer my question. So they end up going to trial, right? And during the trial, there's just a random day that his lawyer and the prosecution get called up by the judge, come see me in my chambers, right? Full, like, law and order. And then they're gone for like 8 minutes. And when the door opens, he sees his lawyer, the Cooley graduate, walking out in handcuffs. he doesn't even know what this dude did, but he leaned over to him as he was getting walked out and was like, I did my best. Sorry. This year has been really, really wild in the ways of how labor works. There have been 312 strikes this year. Different organizations, things have nothing to do with each other. All striking, different places, right? And that tells you something. That tells you a bigger thing is happening, you know? And I think that it also tells you that you can only treat people a certain way. You can only underpay them. You can only take so much from them before they can't take it anymore. You know what I mean? Because striking comes at a cost. It comes at a heavy cost. And you should ask yourself what that means when someone is striking, which is already a cost to them, and they're doing it anyway. That means that they have so little, that they have so little left to lose, they might as well roll the dice, you know? And it's across so many different industries. Alaskan school bus drivers had a strike. I don't even know what that job is, really. Like, it sounds like most of it is in the name. And I imagine it's like Ice Road Truckers, but with kids, you know what I mean? They had a strike. Nurses. Nurses banded together and had a strike. One of the largest strikes we've seen from nurses. And that's one of those professions where you just give those people what they need. Just do it. The nurses, a nurse. And they've already in some places reached some sort of agreement, which happened quickly, because it has to. I feel like maybe the executives that work at hospitals wanted to hold out. They were like, fuck them nurses, we ain't giving them shit. And then they immediately fell down some stairs. And they were like, just bring them to the table. God, God. Walgreens has strength. Yeah, a lot of people didn't know about this. Walgreens pharmacists had a walkout. There were strikes at a bunch of different Walgreens. You better give those people what they need, because without a pharmacy, Walgreens is just a bad bodega. Truly, it is. You know, it's not great. It's just a bodega where every item is in prison. You know what I mean? That is truly devastating. I hate that so much, because then you go to a Walgreens, you go to a CVS, you got to hit the button. Now you got to wait. And who knows how long you'll wait, you know what I mean? It could be 2 minutes, it could be till the end of somebody's shift, you know what I mean? It's just, you're waiting there, and then you got to point too. That's the worst part. So now you got to point, and then you got to point at which one you need. So now they know exactly what size of condom. It's not even a whole thing that they can open. It's just like, so you want the mediums, or what do you? There's something to be said for how we talk about porn, right? I get it. Porn gives men unrealistic expectations, but I think it gives everybody unrealistic expectations of sex. Because porn makes men think, as soon as they touch you with their penis, you're gonna freak out. You know what I mean? If they just put the dick on the shoulder, you're gonna be like, "Bwah!" That's not how life works. And porn gives women unrealistic expectation of sex, because it makes women think sex is about to be like good or whatever. But But the thing that's really important to remember, the thing that keeps me grounded as a person, is that I go ahead and I watch the bloopers. You have to watch the bloopers. This is the thing. When you watch porn, one of the reasons people have unrealistic expectations is because they forget that when you watch porn, you're watching an edit. You know what I mean? Those are very sexy people who have sex for a living, but they're also doing the best of clips right now. They're not showing you everything. When you watch the bloopers, you realize even porn stars, they get down like us. There's a lot of getting puffed out. There's a lot of like, just like lots of things that humanize the experience, you know? One of my favorite ones, it wasn't even really a blooper, it was just like an outtake, I guess, just some extra footage. And there was a guy who had what I can only describe as too big of a penis. Now, I know that makes it sound like I got a small penis or something, but truly, truly, for the safety of the actress involved, this was untenable, okay? I was worried for her, all right? So anyway, they're going at it, and they're making all the noises you'd expect. It's him going, oh, him like, ah, like just a non-stop of that. And then out of nowhere, this man stopped, walked away, walked over to the crafts table and grabbed a Snickers and started eating. And I was like, you know what? Yes. Yes, we need to incorporate more snack breaks into sex. That should actually be the Snickers commercial right there. It should be somebody, oh, oh! These are both good. I like them both. No?
One of my favorite bloopers though was this. There was once again a guy, very well endowed, going at it, just really giving it his all, putting all of his creative energy into the scene. Okay. And then he's like really like, ah, you know, all this stuff like that. And then he clearly catches a Charlie horse. And I looked like the DiCaprio meme for a second. I was like, yeah, me too. I do that all the time. We should really stretch before we get, you know. Wow. And then my man is over there, and you can see him trying to push through it. Just like. And then at one point, when he has a Charlie horse, he goes like, ah, which I guess is the same noise he makes when, you know. And so then she's like, did you? And he's like, no. So then the actress sits down and you see her from the front for the first time. And it is funny because she's not looking at the camera, but the camera's still rolling. And he over here limping, trying to stomp it out. And she just goes, y'all have been so great. Thank you so much. I'm Josh Johnson.